الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home, every one of us, we go through difficulties, hardships, some sort of trial, tribulation, test, difficulty in our life. Many a times when we are faced with such challenges, such hardships, such masaib and calamities, that we tend to lose hope. We have this feeling of anxiety, frustration. Person feels, I've tried so much in my life. I'm always a failure. I'm a born failure. I fail in my examinations. The young girl sitting at home waiting for a suitable proposal to come, years have gone by. And she feels there's no hope for me. This is going to be my life. This pit, darkness, surrounded with the darkness, this has become my world now. Person says, I've tried desperately to get a job. Every interview I went for, I just failed. I'm trying so hard to make ends meet. Nothing seems to work right for me. I'm just getting more and more debts. I'm feeling so wretched, so miserable. As though I've come to the end of a dark tunnel. There is no way out, there's no exit. There's a dead end in my life. So many a times we express these type of sentiments, or we feel these type of feelings. I'm not successful in life, I can try every single day. Use all my energy and all my skill. I've traveled so far, I've come so far, only to discover that bridge I need to cross over now, that bridge is broken. The person loses all hope. My respected brothers and elders, as I mentioned, we all go through difficulties and hardships. Sometimes it is a physical pain, ailment, sickness. With all due respect, the doctors have tried desperately. And there are many doctors in our society that go the extra mile. And they will see to our needs to the best of their ability. But there comes a point when they say, sorry, we have tried. The person has been diagnosed with cancer, with any sickness. He's gone through all the chemotherapy and the radium therapies. And finally, he feels now, this is the last day of my life and there's no more hope. My life is like a dying ember. As I mentioned, a person may have some financial constraint and difficulty. So people have various problems and difficulties. But let us look in the Quran. There's so many verses that give us hope. Perhaps you have traveled miles upon miles of only a desert. But at the end of this travel, at the end of this desert, there is a meadow. After night comes day. After those tears that you shed, there will be a smile on your face. That rope that has tightened you, and as though there's no escape now, you have been gripped with anxiety, pain, suffering. Remember, this rope also will snap. And then you are free. And even if in this world, you pass away in that condition of distress, or you had that ailment, that illness, and you passed away, you look in life wherein you did not see any so-called wealth, luxury. There is a much better picture, a broader picture, which you and I believe in, and we have that. And that is the hereafter. If you read the writings of disbelievers of this world, who have gone through some of the trials that I have explained, perhaps a woman was divorced. Now she has got resentment, anger she has built up within her. A man has lost his job, and several things have happened to him in his life. He says, one after the other. Many of them, they take away their life. They commit suicide. Why? For them it's just one life. They don't believe in the hereafter. So they believe that every moment of this life, there has to be only enjoyment. There is no grief, there is no pain, and hence there is no sabr. You and I believe in patience and sabr. And the reward for sabr is limitless. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. So no matter what the difficulty may be, no matter what the ailment may be, no matter what the hardship, calamity is, remember, after that vast miles of desert, there comes that meadow. After night comes day. After those tears, there is that smile. If you look in the Quran in Majid, the very beautiful story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in which, and of course the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has been mentioned in several surahs of the Holy Quran. Because there are great lessons that you and I can derive from the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And unfortunately, because of time limits, we cannot go into the whole tafsir. But remember, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born, and he virtually grew up in the palace of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, who was the greatest tyrant ever that came into this world. And we know the entire scene and episode and the incident and the story of Fir'aun, how he was so merciless. He would kill innocent infants, babies. Why? Because he was afraid that this one child will overthrow him one day and he'll take away his throne. And he treated the Bani Israel like slaves, or worse than slaves. And there is an incident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is walking past two people who are quarreling, and he sees that one is an oppressor and the other is oppressed. A Qibti, one who belonged from the people of Fir'aun, one of his men, he was being so hard and cruel and harsh upon an innocent person from the Bani Israel. He was harming him, persecuting him. And so Musa alayhi salatu wasalam intervened. And all he did, the Quran says, فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى. He just struck him with one blow. That's all. فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. But that led to the man's death. The person died. And Fir'aun then pursues Musa alayhi salatu salam. And he flees Egypt. And now he comes out of Egypt. But where does he go to? He does not know himself. He proceeds in a direction that takes him towards Madian, which is in Syria. The Quran says, وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ. He doesn't know exactly where he's doing. He doesn't have any map with him. He doesn't have any provisions, no food, no water, nothing. He's homeless. He leaves Egypt. Mufassirin commentators say, for 8 days he is traveling like this. If he manages to eat some leaves on the way, that was his food. So, وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنْ. He did not even realize that now he's coming towards Madian. But what does he say? In this helpless state, he has to move away from his home, from the luxury and the comfort he was enjoying. He's being pursued by Fir'aun, the tyrant of the time. He's got no food, he's got no provisions. Picture ourselves in his condition. Surrounded by misery, difficulties, hardships, pain, suffering. But look at the words that Sayyidina Musa tells us, and this should inspire our lives. He says, Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani sawa as-sabil. That my Allah, my Rabb, I've got great hopes, He will guide me to a straight path. He will give me some direction. He had hopes only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam now reaches the well of Madian, the water of Madian. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنْ. When he comes there, he sees that there are people, men, who have brought their flock of sheep and their goats towards this one well. And they were watering the animals. But a very strange thing he sees, that there are two young girls. And they have also got their flock of sheep. But they are pulling back their flock of sheep. So that their sheep does not mix with the sheep of those men. And they are waiting one side patiently for a long period. Those men seemingly have got full control over that water. These are the only two women. And they were full of haya and modesty and bashfulness. They did not want to intermingle and go into the crowds of the men. They were just waiting on one side, waiting to feed their flock of sheep and give those sheep some water to drink from the well. And Musa al-Salam realized that these men were using their authority. They had no mercy upon these women. And he felt pity for them. So he goes up to them. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. He says, what's the matter with you? Why are you standing on one side? So they reply. And they say, لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَى. Until these shepherds, these men, do not feed their animals and move away, we don't have the strength, we don't have the power, we don't have the so-called permission now because of the authority of these men. And listen here, very simply they said, two words only. وَأَبُونَا, three words, وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. We are women, we are weak. We've got no men in our family, we've got no brothers. Besides our father who's very elderly, he's a shaykhun kabirun. He's an elderly man, he's weak. He cannot bring the flock of sheep. We are forced to come here. Musa alayhi salam goes. He drives away the others. He takes the flock of sheep of these women. And he gives these flock of sheep water to drink. فَسَقَالَهُمَا. He doesn't turn to them and expect some type of thanks from them or some type of fee from them. He moves away and he takes shade. فَسَقَالَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّ إِلَى الظِّلِّ, towards a shade of a tree or a mountain. And what does he do? Now these words are also extremely important for us. And this is what you and I should be making this type of dua every day in our life, especially when we are faced with the type of situations I mentioned in the beginning. And he says, فَقَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. This is, oh my Allah, remember, 8 days of journey, no provisions, nothing. He has left his home. He's wandering. He's homeless. He's got nowhere. He's got hopes only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, oh my Rabb, oh the one who has nurtured me, inni, verily I, lima anzalta, for whatever you send down, min khairin, from any good, big or small, even if it is so minute, oh my Allah, I am faqir. I'm dependent upon that. Wallah, I'm a beggar. Wallah, I need any khair that you will send upon me. And I will appreciate that khair. My respected brothers and elders, Allah mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas. Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah reminds us, Allah addresses us, Antumul fuqara'u ilallah. Remember, all of us, we all are beggars unto Allah. Allah has conferred the title upon us. You and I, we are beggars. We beg from Allah. We ask from Allah. We pin our hopes only in Allah. Not like that mountain climber who has climbed up that mountain. And he has thrown away that rope which he was using to secure him. And instead of that rope, he is now just holding onto some twigs that he finds in those rocks. What are those twigs going to do? They're going to break, they're going to snap. He cannot blame those twigs after that. He's not holding onto the rope. Musa alayhi salam held onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had that hope. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two young girls, they go home. Their father, according to the majority of the mufassireen, was none other than the Nabi of Allah, Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam. He lived in Madian, and Musa alayhi salatu salam was not a Nabi as yet, lived in Egypt. Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam sees his two daughters coming home earlier than normal. Father asked the question, what happened today? You and I, we have children. Our children don't come home early. They come very late at night. But never do we have the courage to ask them, boy, Ben, why have you come so late? What's the problem? Isn't it past time? You should have been back by 9 o'clock. Why have you come so late? It is Saturday night. Where have you been? So these two girls immediately relate the story of this person they had seen, and he took their flock of sheep, and so easily he went and he fed the sheep, he gave them water to drink. So Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, go and call this person. I need to give him something. I need to thank him. We have to appreciate his kindness. See, the Nabi of Allah, these are their qualities. If somebody does good, then they would show thanks to the person. Somebody does us some good. Do we ever have that him, ever have that little bit of fikr and concern of let me thank and show my gratitude to the person? Musa alayhi salam, on the other hand, he showed his nature of helping the weak, the poor. And this was another salient quality of every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody is in need, but we drive past as though we have not seen them. So one of the daughters is sent by Musa, by Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, and she sees Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sitting there. But the Quran explains the manner in which she comes. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا. She comes with full modesty, with haya, bashfulness. Mufassireen have written that she covered her face with the sleeve, with her sleeve. She looked down. She addressed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with full haya and modesty. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also had lowered his gaze. And she says, إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقِيْتَ لَنَا. My father is calling you because he wants to pay you for the fact that you helped us out and you gave our animals water to drink. That is all. no other conversation. There was no kiamcho, harocho, how are you? Nothing. This is my father's message. And Musa alayhis-salam did it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had no intention of getting anything from them. But he realized, perhaps this is some way that Allah ta'ala is showing me and guiding me to some place. So he goes, and the Mufassirin write the manner in which they left this place, and they are going, proceeding to the house of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam. First she is walking in front, immediately Musa stops her. He tells her to walk behind him. And he walks in front, so that his gaze does not fall onto the strange woman. And he tells her that if we need to move in the right direction, all you're going to see, move towards the right. If we need to go to the left, see, move to the left. Some commentators have said, he said, they take a pebble. If you need to go to the right, then just throw this pebble on the right hand side. And if you need to go on the left, then just throw this pebble on the left. This was the garment at that time. They reach the house of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam. And he meets Musa alayhi salatu salam. Musa alayhi sees Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam. He makes out that this person is a very pious person. Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam sees Musa alayhi salatu salam. He also realizes there's no ordinary person. And then, وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ Musa Islam relates his whole story, what had happened in Egypt, and how he came about there, and Fir'aun, etc. Now see, after the difficulty, I said, that miles of desert that you traveled, that pain and grief and suffering, whether it was a financial difficulty, some ailment, some sickness, some physical, some mental problem, whatever it was, the depression you suffered, now comes salvation. Now comes that oasis. Now comes that meadow, that garden. Now comes those, that smile after the tears. He says, نَجَوْتَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمُونَ Don't worry. Here, there's no Fir'aun here. He's got no authority here in Madian. You are completely safe. So he is now staying with them. Then one of the daughters tell their father, then why don't you employ him? إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ We've got nobody to take our flock of sheep every day. Our duty is difficult. And this man, he is الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ He's strong and he's trustworthy. Immediately father asks, how do you know these two qualities? How do you know he's strong? How do you know he's Amin? He's trustworthy? So they explain that when we went there and when Musa Salam took our flock of sheep, the other men had covered this well with a huge rock or with a huge lid. And it was impossible for just one or two men to lift and raise this lid. But he was so strong, it normally take between 10 to 40 people to remove this huge boulder or this huge lid over this well. And we saw that this person, very, very bravely and courageously, with all his might, so easily he was able to do this. Can we imagine the strength of Musa al-Islam? After 8 days of journey, remember I mentioned one blow and the person passed away. And she says, oh my father, as we traveled, he looked down. He made me walk behind him. He's a trustworthy person. Mufassirin ulama explain, when we have a person we want to employ, we have candidates, they come for an interview, what do? We only look for what type of degree and qualification he's got. Perhaps he's very highly qualified, but he does not have amanadari in him. He's not a trustworthy person. And what's going to be the result of that? You think that you are going to thrive, your business is going to thrive. You've got the right man, very highly qualified, but soon he'll be siphoning your money. Soon you'll find that things are not working. What's happening? How come? We're supposed to be so busy, but I'm not seeing the money. I'm not seeing the profits. Why? Because he was stealing that money. He was not trustworthy. So two things. The person has to have salahiyat. He has to have the skill for whatever job he's being employed for, and he must be trustworthy. So he gets a job. He's now living in amnesty protection. He gets a job. And also now, the father thinks, no, not just let him be employed by us and be as a worker, let me get him married to one of these daughters. And so he marries one of the daughters. And the condition is that you're going to work for me for a period of at least 8 years. If you wish, you can work for 10 years. That's left to you. I will not hold you responsible for that. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam agrees. And he says, Allah is our wakil, our guardian. And this is our agreement. It's left to me if I want to live with you and work for you for 8 years or 10 years. Mufassirin have written that some of them said, تَزَوَّجَ سُغْرَاهُمَا. He was married to the younger daughter, وَقَضَى أَكْبَرَهُمَا. And he fulfilled the longer of the two durations. In other words, he lived for 10 years. 10 years! He lived with his in-laws, Musa, Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. He worked for Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. Day after, he proceeds with his wife and they are going back to Egypt. And en route now, when they are looking for some type of fire where they could warm themselves, and they see some fire in the distance, and this is the whole incident where he goes now to the mountain and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confers upon him nubuwwat and prophethood. He got protection. He got a job. He became the son-in-law. He got married. And now he becomes a Nabi. بعد العسر يسرا. After difficulty, there comes ease. Later on in the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and now he's told to go give da'wah to Fir'aun. This is another lengthy incident. But finally, when Fir'aun and his army are going to, or they are pursuing Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Bani Israel, and they come and they're being chased, and in front of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is the Red Sea. Behind him, the army of Fir'aun. قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. What do they say? Oh, now we are caught. Now we are going to be seized by Fir'aun. There's no escape. This is the end. Remember I said, this is the dying ember of my life. This is that pit. Everything is so dark. Wretchedness. Misery. I'm so unfortunate. I was a born failure. This is the end of my life. There's no hope. This is what Bani Israel said. But what Musa Islam said, Kalla, never! Inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen. With me is my Rabb. With me is my Rabb. He will guide me. And we know Allah Ta'ala then tells him to strike the Red Sea, and 12 roads were then created, and pathways, and Bani Israel crossed. Musa Islam passed over this land, and then Fir'aun came in, and Musa Islam was told to strike again, and that land became sea and water, and Fir'aun drowned. So after difficulty comes ease. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into the burning fire, the inferno, what did he say? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Any person who's going to be thrown into a fire, he knows he's going to burn. The angel from the sky comes on with the permission of Allah to come and assist him if he wishes. He says, oh angel, you? No, I do not need your assistance. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me. Allah is the best of protectors. Hajar, his wife, she was left in the barren lands of Makkah. No people, no vegetation, no cultivation. She and Ismail is nothing. She runs up and down. We know the entire story of Safa, Marwa, Sa'i. And what comes after that? Zamzam. Till today you and I are drinking from that Zamzam. After difficulty comes ease. So don't feel I'm a failure, I'm a born failure. Perhaps I failed that board exam a few times. Don't worry. Perhaps I've got the sickness. Don't worry. Perhaps there's no suitable proposal coming for me. Don't worry. Remember, place and pin your hopes only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything looks seems so bitter, so sour. Somebody says it very well. That lemon you've got, it is sour. Convert it into a sweet drink. All you can do, add some sugar to it. And make it tasty. Be optimistic. Be optimistic in who? In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. Allah's help. Allah's guidance. After difficulty will come that ease. Remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say in the cave of Thawr? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and himself were alone, they were making that hijrat. The enemy were right at the mouth of the cave, right at the entrance of the cave. Nabi Kareem said, لا تخف لا تحزن لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Allah is with us. After the entire incident of Taif, when Rasulullah was pelted with stones, he was bleeding profusely, he fell unconscious. After all that what happened, he made that sabr. He did not lose hope. He didn't say, this is the end of my mission. I've got no support. Khadija has passed away, radiallahu anha. Abu Talib, my uncle, has passed away. I've got no person. Allah took him for a mi'raj. Allah took him on mi'raj. Allah called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seven heavens. You and I are not going to experience any mi'raj. But yes, we will enjoy that proximity, the spirituality with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even in the sickness, even in the difficulty, that financial constraint, turn only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be optimistic and you will feel the close attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq to understand, make amal wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.